Rain turned the curb outside Velvet into a black mirror. Seraphine Laurent stood under the awning with a borrowed coat buttoned to her throat and a printout folded until the creases bit through the paper. Opening night meant lines, photographers, and men in tailored black pretending not to recognize anyone worth blackmailing. She was not on the guest list. She intended to be inside anyway. The awning leaked in one corner. Cold water found the collarbone and slid under the coat. She did not flinch. Flinching was a tell, and tonight she could not afford a single one. Two women in sequins argued with a rideshare driver about a canceled pickup. A man in a finance suit checked his phone and wiped rain from the screen with his thumb, over and over, as if repetition could summon a car that cared. Velvet's facade was all smoked glass and brass, the name in thin gold letters that did not shout because it did not need to. Bass thumped through the doors even before they opened. Money had its own heartbeat. The doorman's name tag read Juno. Young, bored, trained to smile at people who tipped and to forget everyone else. Seraphine held out a laminated vendor pass she had lifted from a courier bag 2 hours earlier. VIP logistics, she said. Mercer's shipment manifest. A 9 clearance. Juno's eyes flicked to the pass, then to her face. Manifests go to the loading desk. Not this one. She kept her voice flat. Cartagena flagged under false registration. Serpent's Kiss. Arrived 1407. Your supervisor wants it before Mercer walks through that door. It was a gamble built from half a page of stolen intel and a talent for sounding like she had already won. Juno's earpiece crackled. He listened, jaw tight. Log station, he said finally. Not the floor. Nico has you on a screen until Cashin says otherwise. She filed the small victory and did not let it show on her face. Past the velvet rope, the club opened like a lung. Bass, glass, smoke, money. Stained glass windows threw bruised purple light across the mezzanine. The band played a blues riff that seemed designed to excavate forgotten corners of discontent. She breathed once, slow, and crossed to the bar. A junior bartender she did not know tried to wave her off the service side of the counter. Seraphine showed the ledger wristband Juno had slapped on her arm 60 seconds earlier. Nico, she said. Manifest cue. The bartender stepped aside. Smart kid. Everyone in Velvet learned fast who owned the night. She took the corner stool Nico had saved without asking. From here she could see the main entrance, the service hall, and the mezzanine where Cashin Vale would eventually decide whether she was an asset or an error. The whiskey arrived without an order. Neat. Not her preference. His message. Still neat, Nico said from the service rail. He prefers messages nobody can return. She let it sit while she watched the room fill. Investors in understated watches. Artists performing indifference. Two city council aides pretending they had not coordinated their arrival. Velvet collected them all the same way. Light low, music persuasive, money visible but never vulgar. Seraphine had studied the choreography until she could mimic belonging. A woman in emerald silk laughed too loudly at a joke that was not funny. Seraphine tracked the woman's wrist. No host badge. No vendor band. Champagne flute held like a prop. A guest who had paid for proximity and would leave hungry anyway. Seraphine understood hunger dressed as elegance. She had worn it herself for months.